Be in Matthew chapter 9, and we'll be reading from verse 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13, concerning the call of Matthew. And as Jesus passed forth from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat eating in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but the disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the son of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. Let us look to the Lord before we get into the message. Loving Father, we are thankful for the reading of the Scriptures and pray, Lord, that you will open the Word of God to us. Pray your Holy Spirit to bring it to our hearts with some application, that we may also see of your grace and of your love toward our fellow men, and that you do call such as need to be saved unto yourself. And we thank you, Father, for this great plan of redemption wherein you gave yourself, wherein Jesus' sacrifice became that which was the atonement for sin, and that the righteousness of God came unto man through Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. The title of the message is simply, Come Follow Me. We find here in this passage the call, if you will, of Matthew. Jesus calls Matthew to be one of his disciples. And so Jesus calls Matthew to come and to follow him. As we begin with verse 9, And Jesus passed forth from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. The call of Jesus can come at any moment. And we find that Matthew is sitting at the tax office. And we find that as Jesus comes and passes by that way, he calls him to be one of his disciples. Now we may wonder at that. Why did Jesus call Matthew? Well, we aren't told why Jesus calls Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or Paul or any of the others. Nor are we told why he calls you and I unto himself. We only know that he has called us. We only know that when he speaks to us, we are to come. We are to follow. And as we would come and follow, so Christ will show himself unto us. And so Matthew was at his job and heard the call of Christ. The seat of customs was where taxes were levied by the Romans, but Matthew was serving as a tax collector, of course, for the Roman government. And so as Jesus calls Matthew to be his disciples, we notice that Jesus can use the most despised among us, or the most common among us. Certainly the tax collector was despised. Does anybody take pleasure in paying the taxes? We don't seem to, do we? It's kind of one of those things we grin and bear it. Well, we have to pay our taxes, so we do our taxes. But Matthew wasn't well-liked. He was a tax collector for the Roman government and certainly not on the popular list. Or as we might say, he probably didn't take the Dale Carnegie course of how to win and influence people. because he was a tax collector. He just was not too amiable among the people of his day. And we also know that whether it happens to be a person who is of low estate or not very well liked, or a person who is perhaps well liked, or a more common individual, as Jesus called fishermen unto himself, someone of a common trade. In other words, in the spectrum of people of whom Jesus calls, they are diverse and they are universal in his call. Not that he calls everyone, that is, they do not all respond. Certainly the call of God goes out to all, but the response of all is not the same. And so he calls Matthew to himself, and we know that he calls whosoever will may come. The first call that responds to Jesus is the most blessed, and it is obedient faith. That is, here is Matthew. He is sitting at the seat of customs. He is seated in the tax office. And the minute he calls to him, Matthew gets up and follows. So here is the first call, if you will. Here is that first time of which Jesus speaks. And we find that Matthew willingly, obediently responds in faith. And so we find that as he calls him, he calls him to follow me. We again see that in verse 9. And Jesus passed forth from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of office. And he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. And so he is to follow. We find that when we come to faith in Christ, we immediately realize that Jesus wants us, that Jesus has called us. And in calling us, we come to him. And in coming to him, we must follow him. For Matthew, it meant that he would be one of those chosen of God. And so when Jesus calls, we cannot deny him. We cannot deny him. You might say, well, I know many who have denied Christ. That may be. But they did not deny him because they had exercised faith. Nor did they deny him because Jesus gave him that irresistible call to come. They denied him because of their unbelief, because of their own sin, perhaps because of their own pride, perhaps because of a number of different reasons which would fall in the arena of sinnerhood. But certainly it wasn't because Jesus gave them an obedient call to come. It was a call, but theirs was in unbelief. They responded in unbelief. Matthew responded in like faith as Jesus called him. Luke records the same saying this. In Luke chapter 5, 27 and 28, he says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Now see, that seems to be in an immediate sense. He left all, he rose up, he got up, and he followed Jesus. Who could resist such an invitation to follow the Master? And we find that Levi followed the Lord Jesus Christ. The publican, of course, was a tax collector. And Matthew might have been serving, of course, in some sense of a toll booth or an office of collecting taxes. And perhaps he collected taxes at that particular spot for some reason within the government, whether it had to do with ferrying across the Sea of Galilee or passing on a particular road or some sense collecting taxes due upon a certain time. But we find that Matthew was in the business of collecting money, but yet he did not put his job and his money over his Master. which also causes us to realize that when we are called unto the Lord to follow Him, we should not put job and money over our master, but that we should simply follow Him in faith. And so Matthew arose and followed Jesus. The voice of Jesus then compels us to come. The voice of Jesus compels us to come. We may say that the power of the Spirit of God is such that sinners cannot resist. Again, we might say, well, I know many who have resisted. But have they resisted the true calling of the Holy Spirit of God? Or is it in their own unbelief that they continued to reject the truth of the Word of God? If the Spirit of God was truly upon the heart of an individual, and its Word, the Word of God, fresh upon the heart, I would dare say that heart would have to yield. But we find that many do not yield. Many reject and decline in unbelief and in sin. In Romans 11:29, it says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In Numbers chapter 23:19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. And we find that God is true to his word. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it is that men in unbelief, people who deny and disbelieve and stand against the word of God and continue in their sin, must be left in that condition if they reject the Spirit of God. And so we find many that do. William Burkett says this: "When the inward call of the Spirit accompanies the outward call of the Word, the soul readily complies and presently yields obedience to His voice." I'll say that one more time. When the inward call of the Spirit accompanies the outward call of the Word, the soul readily complies. And so it is we recognize that God gave to Matthew the inward call, accompanied with the very voice of His Word. And remember, Jesus is the living Word. Who could refuse? We must recognize both the outward and the inward call of God. Both the Word and the Spirit give way to efficacious grace, to grace that is effective in the heart of man. Common grace gives the general call to come to Jesus. For many are called, but few are chosen. So common grace is that general call to come to Jesus to be saved. But it will take special grace to yield repentance and faith, as regeneration is the fruits of repentance. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. So we find that God brings together His Spirit and His Word in a very powerful way that a heart may yield to Christ. Jesus then ministers to sinners. We find that He calls Matthew. Secondly, He ministers to sinners in verse 11 and 10 and 11. "And it came to pass as Jesus sat eating in the house, behold, many tax collectors or publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, why eateth your master with tax collectors and sinners?" We may say that Jesus came to minister to sinners. He came to save those who were sinners. He came to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. He came to save such as would turn from their sin unto Him. There is an attraction to Jesus that requires sinners to come to Christ. I think the key that we recognize is that when one knows their sin and one knows the Savior, that when Jesus speaks, they have to respond. It appears from the narrative that after Jesus calls Matthew to come and follow him, Matthew invites Jesus to his home. And there among the friends of the publicans and sinners, Jesus reclines at meal. And some of these, seeing Jesus at the company in the home of the tax collector and other undesirable questions, how a teacher such as Jesus will have company with such low men. Well, we find that it appears that after Jesus had called Matthew, that Matthew immediately invited him to come and have a meal with him. And so as he followed Jesus and they came to his house, he invited Jesus inside, and those who should be there with him, such as those of his company, such as publicans and sinners, and Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. Of course, the idea of sitting down here is actually to recline, as the style of the day was to recline upon pillows, or what was called couches or pillows on the floor, we might say, and a meal placed near unto them so that they could eat. And as they were reclining, we find that those among them who were objectionable, such as those who were of the religious order, as he says, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with tax collectors or publicans and sinners?" And so it had become a matter of public knowledge in some sense that Jesus was eating with these publicans and sinners, and the tax collectors and the Pharisees, finding out about it, began to question, "Why do you eat with these people?" So Luke records the hospitality, if you will, of Matthew, saying in Luke chapter 5, verse 29, "And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them." That was Luke chapter 5 and 29. So Jesus sitting down at a meal, and his best company was those who were invited. And so we find that they enjoy this meal together. Disciples, then, should not shy away from those who have great need, but welcome them to come to Jesus. We might say, well, there are some very low people here. They are tax collectors and they are sinners. They are heathens. Why should Jesus be among them? But these are the very people that Jesus went to the most. In other words, he didn't bother to go into the religious order of the Sanhedrin, or the Pharisees. They were already righteous in their own eyes. But these who were unrighteous were those who were rejected among them. The publicans, the tax collectors, were rejected and hated among the people. And the sinners, those who were outwardly sinners and known to be sinners, were rejected among the Pharisees or the religious people. And these were the ones that Jesus went to. And these were the ones that Jesus called. Here is our commission, if you will. The same as that Jesus gave to his own disciples. Go and tell. Go and make disciples. Go and baptize. Go and teach. See, we are to go to these people. We are to go to people in need. It is no good for us to go to the righteous who think they are righteous. They are self-righteous. It is no good for us to go to them. They will not hear us. But the sinner will hear you. Those who are despised by their fellow men will hear you. Let us go to those who are true sinners. Let us go to those who have true need. Let us tell them about Jesus. And let us win them to Christ. The religious have many questions, but the best answers are profoundly simple. Notice that the answer that Jesus gave to the religious rulers of his day was profoundly simple. The publican, or the tax collector, the sinner, is a heathen. The sinner, the word sinner here is hamartos, and it means simply a sinful person, And so we have these publicans who are hated. We have these sinners who are sinful persons. We might think of the woman taken in adultery. Those who were righteous, self-righteous, brought this woman taken in adultery in an effort to trap Jesus. And before Jesus got through with them, all of those self-righteous people walked away because they knew that they had personal sins and they could not cast a stone upon this known sinner, this known adulterer. But Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. In other words, Jesus came to minister unto such people as publicans and sinners. Jesus came to minister unto such people who are despised, such people who have known sin. Those who are sick need not a physician. The simple answer is given, which confounds the Pharisees. But the simple answer is given here. As we look at verse 12 and 13, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so thirdly, the sinner needs healing. The sinner needs healing. Jesus calls Matthew. He is told to come and follow. And this third area, the sinner needs healing. That's why Jesus came. The sinner needs healing. They that are well need not a physician. Only the sick need a physician. Those who are not sick, of course, are well. But those who are sick are unwell and unrighteous. And Jesus came to minister to such as needed healing. And so it is that God wants us to minister to these people as well, to call them unto the Savior. And so we see that this most simple answer is one which confounds the Pharisees. The evil thoughts of evil men ring loudest. Jesus heard how they questioned his disciples. Reading on, verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, what the religious rulers were saying, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so the evil thoughts of evil men ring loudest. And even today we know that those who are self-righteous, those who have evil thoughts, those who are proud and arrogant and self-willed and self-determined and need not God, nor call themselves sinners, they are the first to protest to those who say that God alone saves, that God forgives, that God is righteous, that God is holy, that God is not unjust, but just in his dealings with man. They are the ones who protest the loudest. They are the ones that say, why do the innocent perish? They are the ones that say, why do terrible things happen to good people? They are the ones that say, if God is so good, then why is there so many terrible calamities and tragedies happening in the world? And they protest, but they know not the answer because they know not God, and they are confounded by the simplest of answers. Jesus heard how they questioned his disciples. We can expect that questions about Jesus will come from those who have not faith, yet are religious and proud. When you have many questions against Jesus, they are by those who have not faith and by those who are religious in their own right and proud in their own selves. Those are the people who will question you. They may not show it immediately, but they have some law unto themselves that they have kept. There is some particular righteousness about themselves that they hold up. And you can be certain that they are not living in humility, but in their own self-will and pride. And they question the most. And they will question you about Jesus. But you must give them the answer which is the most true. And that is the answer which is the simple, clear, concise answer of the gospel. When they ask you how one might get saved, you do not need to tell them some fancy, complex theological argument. When they ask you how you can get to heaven, you don't need to explain some eschatological view. You just simply need to say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the simple answer. The sick need a physician, Jesus said. And he came to call sinners to repentance. That is the simple answer. And the simple answer for us is the same. Just tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is no other argument that needs to be given. But they say, how can I be saved? The simple answer is, have faith, call upon Jesus, believe, confess your sins. But they will not, for they will not humble themselves. They will not because they persist in their unbelief. They will not because they persist in their questions and skepticisms. They will not because they do not have a true heart of faith toward God. And though you give them the outward call, if the inward call has not been confirmed upon their heart, they will not believe. Matthew received the outward call and the inward call. His faith was confirmed upon his heart. He got up immediately from the seat of customs. He followed after Jesus. He took Jesus to his home to have fellowship with him. And they ate together along with his friends. And Jesus ministered unto publicans and sinners in the presence of his own disciples. Those who are self-righteous are just as sick in the soul, but they will not admit their disease. It is the Lord who heals and forgives all our soul's diseases. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You see, he alone will pardon our faults and heal or make whole our lives, even all our grievous sins. Jesus says to them in verse 13, but go and learn what that meaneth. And then he says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus tells them to go and learn what it means to have mercy, an attribute that they must learn of God. For as David learned through his sin that God would restore him and forgive him, but not through sacrifice, but by an act of mercy, as he humbled himself with a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 51:1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David had to come to God and to learn of God what it meant. And he needed to seek the mercy of God. In Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. The Pharisees had not mercy in their hearts. Jesus had mercy to spare. He had grace in abundance. And he spoke to Matthew, and Matthew came and followed. For he gave him the outward call, which was confirmed upon his heart by the inward spirit, which spoke to him. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. That is what Jesus says. And he says, learn what that means. You see, the Pharisees were going to have to go back to God and learn what that meant. We cannot learn it in a textbook. We must learn it upon our hearts as we come before God in true humility and faith. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And so we find Jesus gives them a lesson in simplicity. in teaching them the most simplest of things that they should have known, things that came directly out of the Old Testament prophets, and they should have known it. But unfortunately, their hearts were bound up in their own self-righteousness and their own sin. And so in verse 14, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but the disciples fast not?" I'm not sure I'll go on to those two verses, but I'll just close with this. The righteous do not have mercy, for they are too much keeping the law of righteousness. The chief part of the ceremonial law was to sacrifice. And so for the Pharisees, and who were very much, of course, in tune with what the priests were doing at the temple, there was a lot of sacrificing going on. They were very much bound up in the ceremony of sacrifice, and they could not break their thinking away from it. And so they had forgotten the mercy of God. The greater and more blessed words are these that Jesus said in verse 13. "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so I guess I would ask, do you know any who will not heed the call of Jesus to come unto him? If you do, they are self-righteous. They will not heed the call of Jesus to come unto him. You see, that general call can be given at any time, any place. You can give out the general call of God. You can ask people to come to Christ. You can tell them the way to come. You can call them by the very words of the gospel message itself. You can give out a gospel tract. You can witness to people. This is the general call. Whosoever will may come. You can do that. But the inward call, that call which is by the Spirit of God, must be made effective upon the heart by God the Holy Spirit. If they will not come, then they are still very much bound up in their own righteousness, in their own sin. And so we must recognize that there are many who will not come for that reason. In 1 Timothy 1:15 it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Paul knew the simple answer to the complex question, to the question that confounded many, question that confounded the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious rulers of the day, the questions that confounds all self-righteous people, all sinners who know not God. Simple answer is that they that are sick need a physician. And Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, they that are sick. And that if they will come, they must believe, and they must call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To God we pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word and pray your grace and mercy upon your word to be used of you, that you may speak to the hearts of those who need to come to Jesus, and that they will no longer resist. Rather, they will not only hear the outward call, but the inner call of the Spirit of God to yield and to come and to follow Jesus. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name.